Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Rongi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it
also,
is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Oh no, we're away from home.
Yeah, we are.
We are away from home. We are broadcasting live from Cardinals Nation.
Took me a long time to find this place, you know.
Well, but you did a great job, John Hancock. You walked right in.
Not sure where I parked.
You will never find your car.
That's not going
to
happen.
It's actually really quite easy to get to Ballpark Village, and we think you should come down today for multiple reasons, and we'll tell you what those reasons are, but primarily the Cardinals play today. It is the last home day game in the middle of the week.
Yeah. They used to call these the Businessman and Ladies' Day Special.
The Businessman Special. I remember that.
Yeah.
The Business Person Special. Cardinals-Reds this afternoon, 12:15 first pitch. So we have you up until 11:20 today. The phone number is 314-436-7900 to call and to text. You can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it and listen. We are not streaming today, so you can't watch us on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, but you should still follow us on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Everybody's talking about Jerry Kelly Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical because they've got us here at the ballpark today. 100 acts of kindness. And at 11 o'clock today, John,
yeah.
I'll be out in the plaza right here.
Oh, right there.
Outside the left field.
It's to the right of your dial if you're listening in the car.
Yeah, outside the ballpark, there's that little infield-looking thing with the stage at Ballpark Village. I'll be out there giving away free compliments.
Wow.
Thanks to Jerry Kelly. How
about compliments that? Compliments from Ron's. He doesn't get any better than that. The St. Louis County Council yesterday voted down a resolution honoring the memory of the slain conservative activist Charlie Kirk.
And as I mentioned, the Cardinals yesterday beat the Reds 3-0. Today they play at 12:15. It is the finale of this series, and then you will not believe what happens next.
What?
The Cardinals wrap up their home season over the weekend.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, starting on Friday.
Kind of sad.
So that's sort of where we start today because, Cardinals baseball is dwindling. It's coming to an end. They're 4.5 games out of a wild card spot right now.
Yeah, I think we can stop talking about that.
Yeah, so, it's just not going to happen.
Nope.
Which is, it's super unfortunate. I would love for it to be a thing where, they're going to the postseason. But they're not going to go to the postseason.
Well, a couple three years from now, the things will be a lot different, perhaps. But I think the short term prospects are not all that great, in my baseball opinion.
Well, I would like to hear your baseball opinion.
Well, the biggest problem this team has is one of the biggest problems they have is starting pitching, and starting pitchers don't grow on trees; they do grow in farm systems, and the Cardinals. The guy they were most hopeful for is having Tommy John surgery. He's not going to be able to pitch next year. And, Quinn Matthews kind of took a step back. The left-hander that was highly regarded as a Cardinals player of the year in the minor leagues last year. And maybe he comes up. Michaelis isn't coming back. Andre Pallante has not shown me that he's a guy that's going to slot into this rotation. So where do you get starting pitching from, and where do you get top of the rotation starting pitching from? The only place to do that is to grow them or via free agency or via trade. And teams that have, you know, top of the rotation starters aren't trading them. So it's going to be, we're going to have to wait to get those pitchers, and it's not going to happen next year, I don't think. And unless and until you've got a rotation that's competitive and you've got a pitcher who's in the top 10 in all of baseball, which we do not have right now, you know, it's hard for me to see a team like that competing for a pennant.
Yeah, I know they're good. Next season will likely be one of those where they're just sort of filling out the rotation. I know there are some people who hold out a little hope, and you know, I could be totally wrong about this. Maybe there's a dramatic improvement from the situation now, going from John Mozeliak, president of baseball operations, to a new regime, which will take over. Chaim Bloom is taking over immediately once this season is over. Maybe things do improve rapidly. My guess is it is going to take a little bit of time, and I really don't know how they're going to operate, knowing very likely there's going to be a lockout in 2027. I don't think it's going to wash out the entire season, but it could be disruptive for the first third of it, the first half of it. Don't really know how that's going to play out. But with that in mind, I don't know how aggressive the Cardinals are going to want to be in trying to improve 26.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know how long of a season you'll have the following year.
Well, and the question is, you know, what's available,
right,
to get out there. Now, there's a lot of hope in Liam Doyle, the number one draft choice from this season, who's now pitching in Double-A Springfield, a left-hander. Good stuff. But, mm-hmm, you know, pitchers are so finicky that, you know, to find one that kind of emerges and becomes something special is fairly rare. And,
yeah,
and we thought it was Carlos Martinez. We thought it was Michael Wacha. We thought it was Jack Flaherty. And, you know, none of those guys at the end of the day, I mean, they were solid big league pitchers, but they, yeah, weren't, you know, top of the rotation kind of guys.
Cardinals, again, we talk to Oliver Marmol on the Gas House Gang every Tuesday at noon.
Great segment.
He's awesome. He's,
yep,
he's really good. He's very open when he can be. There are times, mm-hmm, of course, he just can't say something, but he does a really good job of explaining thought process. Don't always agree with thought process, but he has one, you know, and he is thoughtful about it, which is what I appreciate. He's not just throwing stuff against the wall. And as a manager, I don't think you can ask for more than that. But we talked about the rotation, and he is giving potentially Kyle Leahy an opportunity to start next year. So
yeah,
that's one guy who could be in the rotation. At any rate, the Cardinals will wrap up the season, the home season, with the Brewers this weekend. Off day tomorrow. So they've got the day game today, off day tomorrow, then the Brewers are here, and that's it at Busch Stadium for,
yeah,
the year. Then they'll play 3 in San Francisco, 3 in Chicago against the Cubs,
and
then it
all
comes
over
to an end.
Yeah.
So, you know, John, yesterday, Brad Young and I talked a lot about the National Guard potentially coming to St. Louis,
yeah,
and Donald Trump saying that he needs to save St. Louis. And we know we have issues here, definitely. Crime has been an issue historically. My entire lifetime, people have talked about crime in St. Louis. And according to the numbers we've seen, there has been improvement in the last couple of years in the right direction. Doesn't mean that there isn't more to go here. But thinking about coming downtown, and the reason I bring this up is I've got the text line up, and you can text the show at 314-436-7900. And a text into the station says, if the Guard is going to be in St. Louis for the Cardinals-Milwaukee series, I would consider coming downtown to enjoy the last homestand. And I see a text like that, and I know there are people who think, I'm not going downtown, it's too dangerous. I just don't, and I understand why they think that, but I think it comes from a lack of real knowledge and first-hand knowledge and experience. Because if you're down here, I mean, I'm down here all the time. I work down here.
Right.
I come to Cardinals games. I don't feel unsafe. I live 5 minutes away from downtown.
Did you walk here today?
I did not, because it's well, just it takes too long, John.
Yes.
To
It'd
walk
be good
here.
For you.
I mean, it would be great for me, but I would have to leave a whole
Amy would have walked here.
She would have walked here. I don't know. She would have run here.
She would have run here.
And I just don't I don't feel it, and I wish that people saw things differently, because it's not nearly as dangerous in practice as people see it?
Well, certainly, if you're talking about going to a Cardinal game, the Cardinals actually pay off-duty police officers from the city and the county to be on site right. in immediate streets surrounding Busch Stadium. So there is, at a Cardinal game, there's actually solid police presence. Yep. So I've never felt unsafe coming to a game. I wouldn't park and walk, say, from KMOX parking lot to Busch Stadium, walk home during a night game.
I've done that.
Yeah. I came to a game, this is years ago, and it was my buddy had tickets, and so I was solo, and I parked in the KMOX garage and walked to the game, fine. And then the game's over at, 10:15, 10:30, and I'm walking from Busch Stadium, and I am literally, once I break out of the stadium perimeter, I'm literally by myself.
Yeah.
Walking blocks and blocks, and I got to tell you, I had my head on a swivel. I mean, I was genuinely concerned.
I will say that. I'll agree that when it is a situation where there aren't a whole lot of people out, it is unnerving.
Yeah.
You know, it's and that's what I think St. Louis's issue is. It's not that there are so many sketchy people. It's that there just aren't very many people in general.
Which is a very fertile environment
for something
criminals.
To happen, yeah. Right. But also, I mean, do you really go to a place where there are no people if you want to commit crime?
Yeah, well,
right. I mean, like,
that's an excellent
point. If you're trying to rob somebody, you don't go where there's nobody.
And it's like the guy goes deer hunting and there's no deer. You're just sitting up there in the stand and you're looking around. And there's not a single deer walking by. That's the point you're making here, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go hunting for alligators. In
Mississippi.
In Creve Coeur.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go hunting for alligators in Florida.
Down in the swamp.
So I don't know. I wish people saw it differently. And like this texter says, if the National Guard is here, I guess there's the perception that things are better and different. My issue with the National Guard potentially coming to St. Louis is they are not going to go to the places where the crime is. They're going to come downtown. They're going to go to places where there are... where they're visible. They're not going to go to neighborhoods where crime really exists.
You know, I...
And that's what happened in Washington, D.C.
You know, I'm not a fan, and I'm not certainly... I'm not convinced that the president has the authority to send the National Guard in for policing in states that have governors. D.C.'s a separate case.
Right,
in that,
right, right.
In that. But I do think... having an enhanced presence of law enforcement, and of course the National Guard is a war-fighting entity, it's not a law enforcement entity, but having a physical presence I think does deter crime, and I wish we had more police officers in St. Louis I wish we had more police officers in St. Louis who were on the street patrolling. There's a lot of officers in St. Louis that have white uniforms that don't get out on the street, you know, and I wish we had a larger, more spread out police presence in St. Louis, because I do believe that does deter crime. You're not likely to commit a crime if there's a police officer standing a half a block away.
I'm not opposed to that. I just don't know that I want to see armored vehicles and camouflaged
right.
Uniform military walking around. I don't know that I want to see that. I don't know if I'm not sure I want to live in a place like that.
Well, and I think, you know, that all of this is ultimately going to be determined through. There's going to be ample number of lawsuits. There already is litigation. And we're going to find out, does the President of the United States have this authority? And the courts may decide that he does. And if he does, then I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Guard here in St. Louis.
Because I think there are some people who think, I want that. I want the National Guard to come to St. Louis. I don't know if you want it as much as you think you want it. I think once you see it, and once you see people in fatigues walking around, I don't know that you would like it as much as you think you would like it.
Certainly wouldn't like to have a bunch of tanks running down Highway 40 trying to get downtown to the ballgame. You know,
yeah,
those things don't go very fast.
People already complain about the traffic here, which isn't that bad. But just imagine having to drive behind a tank.
I know it.
That wouldn't be very good.
It's hard to see the stoplight.
John mentioned the Charlie Kirk resolution that was introduced at the St. Louis County Council, and last night there was debate on it and a vote. It was rejected. We will talk more about that when we come back. John Hancock, Chris Ranji from Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village. We're here because of Jerry Kelly Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electrical, 100 Acts of Kindness. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll be out on the plaza giving away compliments, and they'll be free.
Wow. You it's look gonna, marvelous.
Yeah, it's, I'm going to say that all the time. Also, Chris and Amy's show, that's us, we're giving away Cardinals tickets for today. You got to stop by for an opportunity to win them.
Nice.
Stop by the booth after 11 o'clock.
Are they good seats?
I'll let you know.
They're all good seats here at Busch Stadium.
John Hancock, Chris Ranji, 104.1 FM KMOX. Live at Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village, John Hancock and Chris Ranji until 11 o'clock, and then we'll be outside in the plaza from 11 till 12. I'll be there anyway. John has things to do.
And people to go and people to see and places to go.
Got tickets to give away.
Heavy now.
So, you know, if you come up to the tent, we'll be outside or our table.
I'm pretty sure if you get these free tickets we're giving away that you can just walk right down and sit in those green seats.
Well, okay, don't say that.
What?
We don't know that.
No.
We don't know where the tickets are.
Oh.
I mean, they could be up in the 400. You could be sitting up in the Bud Terrace.
It's a mystery where these tickets are.
Well, no matter where you are, you could sit in the Bud
Terrace. Used to have, when I was in the legislature, they used to give us standing room only tickets. We'd go to any game we wanted.
I don't mind standing room. You can go all over the ballpark.
Yeah.
So Republican Councilman Mark Harder in St. Louis County introduced a resolution that would have honored Charlie Kirk, and the council turned it down by a 5-2 vote, and people at a council meeting in Clayton yesterday spoke in favor of it. They spoke against it, but it was ultimately turned down. I'd like to get your thoughts on the resolution in general, because look, I think that we can all agree there are some extremist wackos out there who do not agree, or they think it's funny, or they think he had it coming that Charlie Kirk was murdered last week. I think that's crazy. I think it's crazy to suggest he deserved that
right.
In some way. I don't agree with much of anything he ever had to say, but that doesn't mean he should be murdered for that. It doesn't mean he should be killed because of it. I also don't know that we need to take an extra step and have a resolution honoring him, because some of his thoughts were pretty questionable, not just disagreeable, but I would say in some cases, in my opinion, I think they were detestable. Not all of them, but some of them. That's my opinion of some of the things he had to say. I don't know that we need to do resolutions.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't. We can all agree this is not how you handle political disagreement and vehemently agree with that, but I don't think we have to necessarily do this, or in my opinion, fly the flag at half staff in honor of him.
Yeah, I mean, he was a Charlie Kirk was a provocateur, and quite good at it. And he did say, I think, generously, I could say he said a lot of controversial things in the course of his public life, and he was a public person. You know, I tend to try and look at everybody, in my opinion, is made in God's image, and for the, by and large, the most people have redeeming qualities, and I mean there are some people that are pure evil, but that's relatively rare,
right?
And so there are redeeming qualities that each of us possess, and there are also qualities that each of us possess that are less than wholesome and less than appealing for people. Now, I didn't read the resolution. But I think you could acknowledge in a resolution honoring his memory, if that's what you want to do. You can offer a resolution about anything or anybody. If you wanted to do that, I think you could do it, extolling the fact that he was an advocate of free speech, that he engaged in peaceful political dialogue with people, that he left a real impact, certainly on the conservative movement in this country, whether you like that or not, it's inarguable. And I think you should acknowledge, if you're going to have a resolution, you should acknowledge that he said had some very controversial positions, including positions that many consider to be racist. I think that's, you know, you don't have to say I think he was a racist, but it's also inarguable that many people out there considered some of the rhetoric he used as racist rhetoric.
Yeah.
I suspect this resolution didn't say that.
No, it didn't have that. It did say, in part, that the council condemns the assassination of Charlie Kirk in the strongest possible terms.
I'm good with that.
I mean, we all do.
Yeah.
Again, there are, in any death, in any tragedy, there are always going to be some wackadoodles who take delight in it for whatever reason. Always, always, always. This is no exception. This is happening here. But 99.9% of people in the country think this was awful.
It was awful.
We don't agree that it was good this happened to him last week.
Well,
it was objectively terrible on multiple fronts.
I never met Charlie Kirk, but it hit close to home for me insofar as, you know, I have a 31-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the Charlie Kirk, 31 years old, married, two children, one of whom is a baby, the other still an infant. They're going to grow up and never know and remember their father. That is tragic.
Yeah,
I mean, you're putting a scar on that, on those kids. You know, I mean, you hope and pray that they get through life and become productive members of society, and they could. But it's, you know, you've taken their daddy away from them, and that is tragic.
It's absolutely tragic. John Hancock, Chris Ranji, we welcome your thoughts. 314-436-7900, and trust me, this is more interesting than it sounds.
Oh, all right.
There's a sharp soybean yield decline happening in Missouri, or it's possible to happen in Missouri, and it could have some really big effects.
That sounds like a humdinger.
It could have some huge effects on the state, and we're going to talk to somebody about it.
A guy that knows his beans.
Yes, a guy who knows
his beans. He knows beans about beans, this guy.
Trust me, it could be a very big deal for Missouri farmers, okay?
There you go.
And we got a lot of farmers in Missouri.
We do.
Okay? So Andre Reese is an assistant professor and state extension specialist in soybean agronomy at Mizzou.
That's where you make birds out of paper.
That's not what that is.
No.
That's origami.
Oh, okay.
Close
Sorry.
Enough.
Yeah.
Hancock and Ranji on KMOX. From Cardinals Nation, John Hancock and Chris Ranji. It is 104.1 FM KMOX. We are here until a little after 11 o'clock. Then we've got the, just up until 11, and then we've got the Cardinals pregame show, 12:15 first pitch this afternoon from Busch Stadium. It is time to go to the guest line this morning, and we welcome into the show assistant professor and state extension specialist in soybean agronomy at Mizzou. It is Andrew Reese, and the reason we're having Andre on the show is because there could be a problem with the yield this year, and it could mean some pretty big issues for Missouri farmers, which means that's not great for the state. So, Andre, we appreciate you being with us today. How are you?
Good morning. Very good. Thanks for having me here today.
Andre, tell us what's happening here, because we know we say, hey, there's going to be a decline in the yield of soybeans in Missouri, and people go, okay. Why is this a big deal, though?
Yes, sure. So, well, it has been hot and dry lately, right? August was the second driest August in the whole historical series in Missouri across the whole state. And that impacted soybean yields. And soybean is the main crop planted in Missouri, and it contributes a whole deal for the Missouri economy.
Yeah, and it's not just a cash crop domestically. It's a crop that historically has been a large export for Missouri farmers. And, of course, those are affected now by tariffs. How big of an economic impact is this, you know, combination of tariffs and temperature going to have on our farmers?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and hard to pinpoint the size of the economical impact. The mixture of tariffs and bad weather, it's never a good mixture to have. So, in one hand, we have this tariff war and other countries that can substitute the U.S. as global suppliers of soybean, and soybean is widely used as feedstock. There is no other protein source to feed fisheries, poultry, beef cattle, dairy cattle in the world. So soybean is the main crop to do so. And with the tariff war, other suppliers, as you know, countries in South America, they tend to occupy the role of the U.S. in that regard with China or Europe, right? So right there, just isolating this factor is already a bad news or a bad deal for the U.S. But the weather is a completely different ballpark or problem that we are having this season, right? So the soybeans and mostly soybeans in the state, they were heading to potential yield breaking record year until July. The weather was perfect with a very nice rainfall. It was a wet spring, so the crops in the field were looking perfect, I would say. But then we had August, and now the production is forecasted to decrease a little bit. It won't be a completely harvest fail. You know, crop farmers will be harvesting. The yields will be, you know, decent, but below the previous expectation and likely below the historical yield in Missouri.
So how often does that happen where everything looks to be on track to be a really good year for production and then suddenly the weather just really changes and affects all of it? Because that's what it sounds like happened this year.
Yes, it not often that kind of a situation occurs. Usually we will have, the weather not super good since the beginning of the season. So farmers, they have a good expectation from the beginning that yields are going to be higher or lower. But this season was different in that regard. So the conditions were great. So very likely farmers were, you know, investing or having a different expectation, and not only farmers, but the whole industry, right? Logistics, elevators, everybody that somehow take place in the soybean industry in Missouri. And suddenly, or not so suddenly, but August was, you know, a turning point for the weather. And August is the time of the year where soybean and other crops, but mostly soybeans, are defining the yield. So it's the seed filling stage, and in that stage we need good rainfall and good radiation, solar radiation we had, but the rainfall was way below the historical average. And I mean, changing the rules of the game is never good for farmers or the industry overall.
How big is the footprint of the drought? Is it affecting all soybean that's grown in the U.S., or is it isolated more to a Midwest geography?
I would say the Midwest geography got hit badly than other regions. For instance, the Mid-South, many states or counties in the Mid-South, they have irrigated beans, so drought is not a concern. And that would be also true for the southeast region of Missouri, the Boot Hill region. Over there, there are many soybean production going under irrigation. So for irrigated areas, the yield reduction is not expected as much as the dry land or rain-fed region. But for the central part of the state and the north part of the state, as well as Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Indiana, overall, it has been a dry season compared to other years.
So soybeans are the are the number one crop grown in Missouri, and it's a crop that's grown wherever there is agriculture in the state. They're growing soybeans, right? It's not. You see it. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. So usually the typical production system in Missouri and in the Midwest as a region is to have a crop rotation between corn and soybeans. So one year would be corn, the following year would be soybeans. And some farmers, they also have wheat in the crop rotation. But soybean is in a production system with corn and wheat. But usually corn is planted first in the spring. So for the corn in Missouri this season, the drought was not so impactful because, corn had a different crop physiology, but also it has been planted earlier than soybean. But soybean usually is planted after corn, and the drought hit the soybean during a very critical yield defining stage. But answering your question, yes, soybean is very prevalent in the Missouri landscape, and usually is under rotation with corn and sometime wheat.
So, Andre, last thing for you, how badly will farms be affected in terms of economics? And, you know, is it a situation where they're going to have a tough time recovering it here in Missouri?
Yes, I would say it's going to be a bad year for soybean farmers in Missouri, not only because of the drought impact on yield, but also because of the tariff war and the low commodity price. So the margins are red is small, and now with a potential reduction of yield, farmers will have a hard time to stay in black. So it's very likely to have farmers not being able to reinvest or, you know, stay in a good financial position after the end of the season.
Andre Reese, assistant professor and state extension specialist in soybean agronomy at Mizzou. We appreciate your time. Thank you for visiting with us today.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
You know, John, I knew we grew up around soybeans.
Yeah.
It's always one of those things where it's like, hey, there are soybeans everywhere. I don't know exactly what happens to them when they get picked.
Well, yeah.
I guess they feed cattle.
You feed the pigs and the cattle and the fish. Make a lot of soy sauce with those puppies, you know? That's why China, they buy so many soybeans, because they're making all that soy sauce.
From us.
That's right. Well, not anymore. And, and then, of course, let's not forget tofu. I mean, that's all they eat out in California. So a lot of soybeans go into that. There's milk that's made out of soybeans. You got ink that's made out of soybeans.
What?
Ink.
Ink?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah,
I never heard that.
Look that up, Peach. People think I make stuff up here because.
Well, John, sometimes I think you might just throw stuff at the wall.
You do?
But it's not. It's not that.
Go ahead, Peach.
Soybean
oil ink. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Yeah, I
had no idea.
I know. I know an awful lot about agriculture because of my background.
What is your background?
My great grandfather was a farmer.
Okay. Did you know your great-grandfather?
Never met him.
Yeah, okay, right.
George Washington Hancock was his name.
Mm-hmm. What? In your family, you got a George Washington.
Hancock.
And John Hancock.
Yeah.
Any other historical names?
Missouri Ann Hancock. Okay. She was not in the direct line. She was an aunt of some type.
John Hancock, Chris Ranji, live at Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village. We will have Katie Lee Collier, owner of Katie's Pizza and
Pasta.
That's
a good pizza.
Yeah, right here. There's a location.
I know it.
What is that, 100 yards, 150 yards?
Something like that.
Right over that direction. John Rooney will join the show. Katie's going to join us at 10. John Rooney at 10:30. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll be out there on the plaza getting ready for Cardinals baseball and Jerry Kelly Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. I'll be giving out compliments, and it will cost you nothing.
Wow.
Because that's the kind of guy I am.
I'll be giving out condiments. No, ketchup, mustard.
You're leaving.
Oh, that's right.
You don't want to stay.
Nope.
But you could if you want.
I could if I want.
John Hancock, Chris Ranji from Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village on KMOX.
Now, did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
John Hancock, you already know the Chicago Bears are horrifically bad.
They're not good.
They're supposed to be good. But one man is benefiting from how bad they are.
Is that right?
I don't mean the Lions or the Packers or any other team in the NFC North. I'm talking about Chase Bandolik.
Oh, Chase Bandolik.
Chase Bandolik is a fitness instructor from 29 years old from Wheeling, Illinois.
All right.
And Wheeling is a suburb of Chicago. Well, Chase has declared that for every point the Bears lose by this year, after every loss, he's going to run a mile.
Oh.
So, on Sunday, Chase ran 31 miles.
Oh.
Because.
That's getting into Amy Markscore's territory.
Because it is.
Yeah.
Because the Bears are terrible, and they lost by 31 points to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah,
52-21 was the final.
I tell you, that was a rough guy. I had to turn it off after a little bit, but. You know,
I took a nap in the third quarter.
I thought the Bears' defense was supposed to be fairly decent, right? I mean,
they're getting no pressure whatsoever.
I know.
It's bad, John. It's so bad.
And, you know, if you saw the Lions, because the Lions were a very good football team last year.
Yeah, they're still good.
They're very good. But if you saw them week one against Green Bay, you thought, you know, they lost their offense and defensive coordinators. And there was some speculation that maybe the magic was gone, and then they lay an egg against Green Bay.
And the thrill is gone, too.
The thrill is gone. But man, they looked against the Bears. They looked every bit as good as they were last year, which tells me that the Green Bay Packers might be the team to watch this year all the way to the Super Bowl.
I think Missouri State might have a good day against the Bears.
Well, they're playing better ball. You know, they're a big-time school now, Missouri State.
Yeah,
they're in the whatever it is that you're supposed to be in.
I don't care about them anymore. They left the Missouri Valley, so I'm over them.
What are they in?
Is it Conference USA? I don't know what their football conference is, but I think it's Conference USA.
I bet they're using soy ink when they sign those NIL contracts.
I can't believe you knew anything about that.
It's agriculture, Ron.
Hey, John, did you see that a Spirit Airlines nearly crashed into Air Force One?
I did not see that.
Okay. Huh. The Boeing 747, the president's plane.
Right.
And a Spirit Airlines passenger plane above Long Island yesterday came way too close to each other. And dispatchers had to yell, "Turn now! Turn now!" Because they were getting really way too close.
Wow.
And this seems about right for Spirit, doesn't it?
Man. Because the airspace around Air Force One is,
right.
It's very unique in terms of how aviation handles it. I'm really shocked that a plane would even be anywhere in the vicinity of Air Force One.
I don't know how that even happened.
Right.
So you're supposed to, I guess the two planes were within several miles of each other, but that's still a little too close for Air Force One. You got to be farther away than that.
No, absolutely right. And, man, a tragedy averted there, huh?
Well, yeah, that could have been a real problem.
No kidding.
You don't want that to happen to you. We are giving out tickets today.
You don't say.
We have Cardinals tickets that we will be giving out to lucky listeners.
We've got a whole suitcase full of these things.
We got a suitcase full of tickets. It's not a huge suitcase, but it is a suitcase.
Well, I mean, you know, suitcases.
So I'll be starting at 11 o'clock. I'll be on the plaza here.
It's a suitcase that would fit in the overhead compartment, but it's still a suitcase.
Right. It actually might fit under the seat in front of you. But I'll be out here on the plaza, right here at Ballpark Village, you know, near where the stage is. You'll find me. I'll be giving out compliments, too.
Ronji compliments. Now, here's something you don't see every day.
Yeah, but if you want some of those free Cardinals tickets for today, come out and see me.
What
and
a
you
deal.
Might get
Who's
some.
Pitching today?
I can't tell you.
Palante?
Today?
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
Okay. I don't know either.
Yeah, I need to probably look that up, don't I?
Yeah.
Cardinals 12:15 is the first pitch, so you are going to want to listen to the ball game pregame show at 11:20.
It is Palante.
Good for you, John.
You want to get that free ticket, folks, because you want to be here for the first inning.
Andre Palante caught the first pitch that I threw out. Amy and I threw out first pitch.
How'd you
two
get to
seasons
do that?
Ago. I don't know. KMOX day at the ballpark.
Well, hello.
When we come back, owner of Katie's Pizza and Pasta, Katie Lee Collier, is going to join the show. They're expanding.
That's a good pizza.
They're killing it. So
that
Katie,
is some good pizza.
Katie's with us next on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's John Hancock and Chris Ranji from Ballpark Village, Cardinals Nation. There's baseball today, 12:15, first pitch, and we are just getting this note that Wilson Contreras is now on the 10-day injured list, retroactive to the 16th. So that's not good. He's got that right shoulder strain. Jose Fermin has been recalled from Memphis.
That guy, I'd like to have his frequent flyer miles.
What, Contreras?
No, Fermin.
Oh, Fermin, that poor guy. Yeah. They probably make him drive.
Probably do. That's Memphis.
So hour two of the show, we've got Katie Lee Collier, the owner of Katie's Pizza and Pasta. She's hanging out with us right now. There's a Katie's about 150 yards from here.
I see it.
And Katie is with us now. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Isn't it fun?
It is. Ask me any baseball questions.
You don't. Do you have any baseball thoughts right now that you want to give us?
No.
She's focused on the pizza and pasta,
yeah.
Buddy.
That's it.
So first of all, let's ask how things are going. You've got multiple locations around the area. Everything must be going well.
There's like 30 of those things. How many of those things do you have?
We're building our fourth in Crestwood. That'll be open in a few months. And then we're moving our Rock Hill location to a bigger space. We've outgrown it. So, all kinds of fun
stuff. It's booming. Katie's is booming.
It's booming.
Where's the Rock Hill location going?
It was a place called Momo's.
It's real close.
You know who owned that? Peter Hirschen's son, who's the owner of Silver Dollar City in much of Branson.
No way.
Yeah, it was his son owned Momo's. It was a Greek place.
Yeah.
You're full of everything.
Well, I am full of a lot, yes.
Katie, did you know that soybeans can make ink?
I think they can make everything.
Yeah.
That's why he told me about the ink thing today. Yeah. I didn't know about that.
Soybeans and corn make everything.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So the place is doing well. Every time I go by, there are a million people there.
Yep. It's doing great. But today's a big announcement.
Big announcement. All right. Hit the drum roll.
Is this about,
you guys,
is we this don't about have a drum the stores, the
yeah,
the
yeah,
Target
yeah,
thing?
The frozen pizzas.
You tell people.
Okay, so I'm telling you guys first.
That's
what?
Amazing.
Yes.
Breaking news?
Breaking
yes.
news.
Okay.
So about 3 months ago, we were awarded a big retailer. They said you have to make 400,000 pizzas in 96 days.
Wow.
And we have a small ragtag team, and we hand make all of our pizzas. And we scaled up and worked as hard as we possibly could, hit the deadline, which is an incredible story for the team. And we're announcing today that we're going to be in every single Target in the USA.
Wow. Every Target?
2,000, yes.
So there are five of you making 400,000 pizzas.
Well, there's 100 of us. It started with about 20 at the beginning of the 96 days. We scaled up quickly and put, frozen trucks out in the parking lot to hold them. And, it was an incredible feat. A documentary film crew followed it all. So you can see it on my Instagram right now, the little, the short films, and see what we did.
So, okay. All right, so they said you have to, in 96 days,
96
you have to make
days.
How many pizzas? It was about 500,000?
400,000.
I'm doing the math over here, Raj. Yeah. I'm assuming you're not going 24/7 on this deal.
We're doing 6 days
a week. 6 days a week.
So day that's, and night.
Okay.
So
day
that's
and night.
That's a roughly 420 pizzas per person. Is that right? Over the course of the 96 days?
Sure. Yeah.
That's.
So wait, how are you? I don't get it. How are you doing this?
We're hand making them. So we hand stretch wood, fire, top them with beautiful like burrata cheese, torn basil.
Oh,
they're really
my.
Good.
They are so good.
Yeah.
All right. Where are you making them?
Put those things in the oven.
I know it's an oven, John.
I have a facility in Creve Coeur that I opened up during COVID. So this was our COVID pivot to keep everyone working, keep the restaurants open.
Yeah.
And then we got into Dierbergs and started scaling across the country in small retailers, like chains that had like 20 stores. And then we got this. And it was our first big shot. So we had to do it.
Okay. So, all right. So you had to do it. Now this will be a continuous thing,
yes,
right? It's not like here's 400,000 pizzas when they're gone.
They're making pizzas in Creve Coeur as we speak right now.
All right. So you have to hire more people.
Yeah. And we're building a new big facility. It's a year-long exclusive.
This is cool.
And then we've got a lot of other retailers waiting in the wings. And we're scaling pretty quickly. We also have sauce. And they're going to carry our sauce, our pasta.
Man.
Yeah.
This is incredible. I mean, this is we're looking at a conglomeration here. This is going to be
it
big.
It really kind of is.
I mean, you're kind of a big thing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
This is
great.
What's cool is like it's a really competitive category, maybe the most competitive in consumer packaged goods.
A lot of pizza out there.
Frozen
pizza.
Yeah, it's dominated by like four players. So to be able to like.
None of which are any good.
Wait, well, DiGiorno, Jack's Pizza. Is Jack's one of them?
Well,
Tombstone.
All of those are owned by like. Two companies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The pizza conglomeration is one of the untold stories of our day.
Do you feel like you've broken in?
Yes.
We've broken and we've disrupted, hopefully.
Yes. Now, how many different varieties of pizza?
We have four flavors.
All
so
right.
Pepperoni, meatball, burrata margarita, and then we have a black garlic, which is a really cool. It's like a garlic cheese bread pizza.
Yum.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to have to continue to replenish the supply.
Yes, all which right. we're doing.
Which you're doing.
Yes.
How much sleep are you getting?
You know,
you're not physically making the pizzas yourself, are you?
She makes during this push,
of course I did, because you can't ask people to do the impossible if you're not helping.
Right.
Which
okay,
was
right.
really fun to do and a great experience to be on the line with them.
Did you feel overwhelmed? I mean, when you have, like you said, you have the shot, you have to take it.
Yeah.
You have to do this. Did you feel overwhelmed at first or like, oh no, why did I do this?
You know, I felt overwhelmed after I said yes. And once we like dug in and realized what the challenge was and that there were days when we were like, we cannot do this. But how do you go back and say no? And how do you?
She read that book, Ron.
Which one?
She read the book. No, The Little Engine.
The Little Engine.
Yeah. And she said, I think I can do this. And sure enough, you pulled up. How old is Katie's Pizza?
17 years old.
What did you do before Katie's Pizza?
I worked in restaurants.
Yeah.
So my story is high school dropout, started working in restaurants at 15.
Where'd you drop out of high school?
Clayton.
Clayton,
yeah.
Wow. That's a good high school to drop out of.
Yeah.
So you've been doing this for 17 years.
Yeah.
I did not realize it's been that long.
It's been that long.
Like, I know it's been a long time.
It'll be 18 in February.
First location.
On Clayton Road, it was a little hole-in-the-wall pizzeria. It was amazing, but dysfunctional, but amazing. Yeah.
Yes. How is the book doing?
You know, I'm in editing with a real editor and a literary agent, and it'll go to the masses soon.
She's going to end up owning the Cardinals. So here's my
prediction. Are you interested in buying the Cardinals?
She's going to get big. I mean, she's already big. She's
She's
96 pizzas a day and 400 pizzas a day. And
it's something like that.
It's incredible what they're
doing. Like
and it's about to, and once Walmart comes calling, I mean, the sky's the limit.
We did win the Walmart golden ticket.
That's right.
Yeah.
There it is.
So explain that to people with the I remember you talking about the golden ticket.
Yeah, we went down last August, and they awarded us the golden ticket, which means you're awarded, you can get into Walmart. And so we're just scaling up to be ready for that partner, which will be, soon.
Because it's going to be Walmart. You got Sam's out there. Costco's going to come call. I mean, there's going to be Katie's Pizza. There will be a Katie's Pizza within 6 miles of every person that lives in the United States of America.
My hype man.
I think there's a Katie's Pizza in my house.
Yeah.
Once you do this, once it's available in Target, when again will that happen?
Today.
It's happening.
Today. All across the country.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is happening.
Target.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Are you going to, beyond the four different pizzas that you have available, do you think you'll expand from there? What'll be available frozen? Or are you just going to you know, do those really
well. I think I
want
to focus on those because we've tested everything for the last 17 years. We've tested many more frozen pizzas as well. These are the ones that everyone wants.
Yeah.
And then we have these like three beautiful sauces, two pastas, and then a frozen pasta entree.
How often does your menu change?
At the restaurants, it changes. The full menu changes twice a year, but then like when there's hyper seasonal stuff, that'll change every month.
You got any pumpkin spice over there?
Oh,
for the,
pumpkin
fall?
Will come. I don't know if we'll spice it up, but we'll.
Don't they have pumpkin pasta?
Oh yeah,
they have
absolutely.
They have to.
It's pumpkin you fill everything. Fill with pumpkin.
That's what it is.
Like a butternut squash.
Are you doing that?
We're going to be doing that this year. Yeah, and we have we hand make every noodle. So. Kind of the same with the frozen pizzas.
They're making the noodles, Rod. This isn't some slipshod operation over here.
No, I know. Katie. Clearly, it's not.
They're cranking noodles out of the noodle machine.
Clearly.
How do you make the noodles?
We hand make them. So we roll out big sheets.
Made
and,
lovingly by hand.
Yes.
That's right.
By your neighbors.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. They're right over
this
there.
Is amazing.
We'll send over some pasta.
I've never heard anything like this. This is amazing. Dropped out of high school, and now she's a multi-billionaire. That's incredible. Well, you're getting there. You're well on your way, Katie.
Oh, good.
Katie's Pizza. How'd you come up with the name?
You know, I opened the first place with my dad.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think people will like you more than they'll like me. So we named it after me.
You're more personable than dad.
What's his name?
He was a tough guy.
Yeah.
He was a tough guy.
You're good front of the house. That's what you're there for. So, okay. We're happy that you came by.
This delighted.
This is really cool about Target.
Thank you, guys.
And then when Walmart happens, let us know. You have to tell us first.
I know. This is cool. You guys broke the news.
I'm just pinching myself over here and turning red.
Oh, stop it.
That's amazing.
I can't believe it. Katie Lee Collier, owner of Katie's Pizza and Pasta. Is there anything else you want people to know about?
Go to Target so you can support this St. Louis company so that they don't kick us off the shelves.
Okay. Do they give you a target, like how well you have to do in a certain amount of time, or they will?
We're on for a year, so we'd like to be on for longer than that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you're gonna do great.
They've got what they call the target over there. And if you're selling at the target, you gotta hit the target.
That's very good.
So help us hit it.
Katie Lee Collier, owner of Katie's Pizza and Pasta. Again, you can find the new frozen stuff at Target. That's really awesome.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
It's great.
Amazing.
St. Louis company doing
away.
Well. Really happy.
Thank you.
That's Katie Lee Collier with us on KMOX.
It's too late now.
I've always advocated for using the text line at 314-436-7900.
Yeah.
I do not condone using the text line to say things like, go pack, go. You're not allowed.
Well, the Packers, you know, they haven't won a Super Bowl for, what's it been? A while.
Probably like 12 years. No, 15. I think it was 2010 they won.
Did they?
I think we're over that. We're over the Packers thing. We don't need to be doing all this Packers nonsense anymore.
They won in the Brett Favre era.
They did, and they won one with dummy.
What's his name?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Just both detestable human beings, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And there was, I'm going to tell you, there was a time where with Rodgers and the way he played against my team, I could do nothing but say, all right, there was that play from a few years ago when he was still when he was still with Green Bay.
Yeah.
Where he ran a ball into the end zone, he scored a touchdown. And he yelled at the crowd, I still own you.
Ooh.
And I thought, you know
it's kind of arrogant.
That is incredible. That's incredible. You know what? He does own us. He does. He owns the Bears. We have to wear it. We have to allow him that.
The Hallis family still owns the Bears, don't they?
So Virginia McCaskey just died in the off season.
Right.
She was like 140
or
something.
No, she was old.
Yeah. So she's she passed on.
Was she the daughter of George Halas?
The granddaughter of George Halas.
Yeah.
Yes. So George McCaskey, he runs the show.
That's
now.
Her husband.
No, that's her son.
Her son. So he's the fourth generation of the Halases.
Yeah.
George Halas, of course, a Greek American.
Sure.
And George Halas, of course, originally owned the team when they were called the Decatur Staleys.
The Decatur, and Staley is the name of their mascot, the bear.
Yeah, and Staleys, of course, is a, I don't know what they are. It's a food company based in Decatur, Illinois.
Yeah.
Archer Daniel Midland is
Archer
in the same.
ADM, I know about them.
They're there as well. And I think Staley's is in the same basic industry as ADM.
Let me tell you this. The Chicago Bears are a perfect example of why families should not necessarily pass down their business from generation to generation. Because the current Hallis family of people don't know what the hell they're doing.
Is that right?
I think that
happens a lot.
That's what I'm talking about. And well, in regular business, I'm sure. But this is the you do not give your business to your kids just because they're your kids. They may run the business into the ground.
Good.
They don't necessarily know what they're doing because you knew what you were doing.
Yeah. Well, and it's pretty rare in the corporate world to see a third or fourth generation family. They happen, but they're rare.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of families by the third generation, they just cash out and sell it to somebody. And, you know, you've got all these private equity companies out there now that go around and target the third generation and buy those family businesses.
Yeah, well, somebody needs to buy the Bears family business because they don't know what they're
doing. What do you think the Bears are worth? A couple billion?
Oh, they're probably worth at least six. I bet it's 7 or 8.
Billion,
yes.
Wow.
The Cardinals are worth a couple billion.
Right.
NFL teams are extremely valuable.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right.
Very, very valuable.
It's quite an exclusive club they've got there.
It is an exclusive club, and that is one of the storied franchises.
Yeah.
Though the story seems to have ended in the mid-'80s. But that's one of those franchises that if you were to own it, automatically you've got a brand.
Yeah.
Right? And so you know, it's like the Cardinals, the Yankees, Dodgers are one of those teams. You know, the Cowboys, absolutely one of those teams. By the way, the Bears play the Cowboys next.
Well, they might win that one. Oh, yeah. You never know. You know, the other interesting thing, of course, is the St. Louis Rams, when they were here, when Georgia Frontier passed away, her kids, the Rosenblum siblings, Carol Rosenblum's children, couldn't afford the estate taxes that they owed. And so they had to sell their share of the team. They were the majority owners of the St. Louis Rams. They sold that to Stan Kroenke because the Rosenblum kids couldn't pay the estate taxes, and now the Rams are in L.A. Very sad.
Well, it's one of the reasons that, as you know, John, some people in St. Louis just despise the NFL. And I don't blame them. I don't blame anybody here for hating on the NFL, though it still does do pretty well.
It's a great product. It's a great game. Even, you know, if you paid attention to some of these roughing the passer calls that have happened in the first 2 weeks, it's a little infuriating.
Yeah. I think they've done a better job at figuring out the penalties, the roughing penalties and some of the offensive penalties or the penalties on the defense. You know, it used to get at first when they didn't quite know what they were doing. Some of those calls are pretty touchy, but I think they've improved that quite a bit.
I don't know. I've seen at least three in the first 2 weeks that, you know,
questionable.
Very, very questionable, in my ever so humble opinion.
John Hancock, Chris Ronji, we are here at Ballpark Village, Cardinals Nation. The
people streaming through this place.
Well, the place is open now. It is open. There's a day game today. It's the last weekday daytime game at Busch Stadium this season. They will play at 12:15. We've got the pregame show at 11:20. At 11 o'clock, John and I are out, and then I will be on the plaza, the Together Credit Union Plaza, right outside here, kind of near the stage.
Get those cars, ladies, and get down here and catch yourself an eye full of Chris Ronji.
Yeah, catch yourself an eye full of me. I will be giving out some tickets. I got Cardinals tickets for the game today. And while supplies last, I'll be giving them out. You know, you might have to earn them. I haven't decided how I'm giving them away. But you'll come down and do that. Also, Jerry Kelly, Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electrical, thanks to them and 100 Acts of Kindness, which we are doing throughout the end of the year. Hey, who knows? Maybe we'll extend it into next year.
Well, you gotta blow past 100 if you
get
until the end of the year.
Maybe we'll do Kind Acts going into 2026 also. But thanks to Jerry Kelly today, we'll be on that plaza, and we'll have the compliment wheel. I'll be giving out free compliments to people if you stop by. If you need your day brightened, I'm your guy.
There's no bolt of sunshine I've ever met more like Chris Ronji, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
Now,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The John Rooney Conversation on KMOX, sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and if you're a Missourian, we're for you.
Cardinal fans are standing here, backing Riley O'Brien. The pitch, a swing, ground ball to third. Arenado scoops him with the backhand and throws him out. That's a Redbird winner, and light up the night in downtown St. Louis. The Cardinals have evened up the series at a game apiece, and they've won the season series over Cincinnati by taking 7 of the first 12 games.
So the Cardinals today will wrap up their series against the Cincinnati Reds. 12:15 is the first pitch. We've got the pregame show at 11:20 on 104.1 FM KMOX and the Odyssey app. John Hancock and Chris Ranji today. We're live at Cardinals Nation right across the street. We are at Ballpark Village. Time to bring in the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, who is with us now. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine. Beautiful day here. They have a career day going on down on the field. The Reds are out throwing the football around. And Whitey used to say that if you're throwing the football around late in the year, the season's over. But I see a lot of teams doing that now, so they're doing it much earlier in the year. So I think might be a little too soon at that point, but a lot going on here, and the Cardinals have a chance to win 2 out of 3 like they did in Cincinnati, except they kind of done it the other way around. They won the first 2 games and lost a Sunday game that had the matchup of Pallante against Brady Singer, the matchup we have today. So the Cardinals need to get some runs, and Pallante attack the strike zone and take 2 out of 3.
Reds are a couple of games out of a wild card spot right now, so they certainly have something to play for in the last week or so. Diamondbacks are a game and a half behind in that for them from that third spot. So you mentioned Andre Pallante, who starts today. As you look at his season overall, John, what are your overall impressions of him and what he's done?
Well, he hasn't kept the ball out of the middle of the plate as much as he would like, and his slider and or his cutter and his fastball are pretty similar, pretty close in speed. And when he's been able to land his curveball, he's been a lot more effective pitcher. And he's been able to keep the sinker in on batters. When he's pitched inside, he has really been effective. And that's why I'm saying that if he can continue to build off of that and have something positive going into the season next year, going into spring training, you know, get him some runs and see what he can do.
Last night's game saw rookie McGreevy go 7 innings, give up 3 hits, no runs, 6 strikeouts for Michael McGreevy. This kid, he doesn't have overpowering stuff, but he's got stuff, John.
Well, he's a pitcher. That's the thing, John. He pitches, and he moves the ball around, and there are times he leaves it in the middle of the plate, and he's paid for that. But he keeps you in the game. He consistently gives you 5, 6, and into the 7th inning. And he'd be a terrific guy in anybody's rotation. And he's going to fit in, I think, very well next year. I thought he was one of our best pitchers, if not the best, in September last year. And he was a guy who was kind of an insurance policy because Steven Matz was still on the roster. And they had Fetty here from the trade last year. And it's just too bad that McGreevy wasn't up a little bit earlier. But you can play, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda all you want, and that doesn't change anything. But the fact that he is here and performing, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he reminds me a little bit. Curious to get your reaction to this. He reminds me a little bit about watching Bob Forsch come up in the early 1970s. Same kind of pitcher, isn't he?
Well, I think Forsch had a little more on the fastball than McGreevy. But Bob Forsch was a true pitcher. And he had a lot of guts when he went out there, too. He had a lot of courage in his starts and determination and purpose. And I see that from McGreevy. I think they're similar in that regard. But McGreevy doesn't rattle easily. I can see some bad body language on a breaking ball that kind of slipped out of his hand. He didn't like the follow-through. But that's where it stops. He gets back out there. He competes. He tries to do his best to neutralize the running game and help his catcher. He does a lot of things right, and he's a very smart pitcher. And I think he has a lot of leadership qualities, too. We'll see those as he moves on and spends more time with the Cardinals.
Ollie Marmol on the Gas House Gang yesterday. He's with us every Tuesday at 12 o'clock. And we talked a little bit about Kyle Leahy and him building up his innings so that he's got a good foundation just in case they wanted to, you know, have him try out in spring training for a starting position next year in the rotation. What would you think of him? What does his Leahy's repertoire in terms of being a starting pitcher, how much do those two things jive together?
Well, he is being built up, I think, to take a shot at being a starter, being in the rotation, and he has the pitches to do it. And I think he has the makeup to do it. And he has that experience of high leverage situations late in games. And as a starter, then he can use all of his pitches and plan his game out and execute that with the catcher and so on. I think he's very good. And I like the prospects of the Cardinals starting Leahy next year. But I certainly like what he's done at the end of games. And he goes out there and he gives Oliver Marmol and Dusty Blake everything he has each time out. And I just thought he was a little gassed at the end of his last outing because he's been used a lot lately. Those two extra inning games on the road trip, the 13-inning game in Seattle on Wednesday, the extra inning game on Saturday in Milwaukee, I think it took a lot out of the bullpen. But I admire these guys. They'll go in and tell Ollie, you know what, I probably could use a day, but if you need me, I'm there for whatever you have in mind.
Yeah. What are you hearing out of the ball club about Liam Doyle, the number one draft pick? He's at AA Springfield right now, I think.
I don't hear a lot because I haven't had a chance to talk to Patrick Anderson about him. But I think he's progressing the way they would like, and I'm sure we'll see him in spring training.
Yeah, I'm going to see a lot of Sujacy now with Mason Wynn done for the season. This is a guy that is maybe auditioning for a spot on this ball club for next year, do you think?
Oh, there's no question he is. And he's a right-handed bat where we have a makeup of so many left-handed bats in the lineup right now on the team and at the minor league level that Sujacy is in a pretty good spot where he could compete to be an extra infielder and a right-handed bat available off the bench, but a guy who could play 3-4 days a week in the lineup, spelling other players, anything they'd have in mind because he does put the ball in play. The guy's been a hitter. And he's been making adjustments here. And I grew a little tired of having to say every time, well, his only home run was in April in Boston. Well, he ended that last night with a line drive to get out of here in no time. And he gets extra base hits, and he puts the ball in play. And there are times where he's hit a rough patch of strikeouts. But for the most part, he puts the ball in play, and he's building a case that he should be on that 26-man roster next year.
Cardinals and Reds this afternoon, 12:15 first pitch. The pregame show here on KMOX happens at 11:20. That is not an accident. We're talking to John Rooney. We'll be listening to the game today. John, thank you for being with us again.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a great day, and let's get a win.
All right, thanks, John.
John Rooney, Cardinals baseball today.
Yep.
And it is. It's sunny. Right now it's 80 degrees. So it's going to get a little warm today, but why?
Yeah,
you know, come on, man! Like,
it's gonna be fine out there.
Why would you not just take a day off? What's the purpose of going into work today?
Nothing, exactly.
There's nothing good happening.
Nothing there. Nothing there for you.
So, John, every Wednesday we do the midweek, midday, midlife.
Wow!
Talk about people in their midlife area. It's not a crisis. But just, you know, how they're behaving,
for
what they're doing. For some, it is actually a crisis.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people in the midlife have decided not to have children.
You don't say.
Why is that? We're going to talk to Katie Gillis, licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist. Katie will join the show when we come back. It's John Hancock and Chris Ranji from Cardinals Nation. We're going to be at the Together Credit Union Plaza. Right at 11 o'clock, we've got Cardinals tickets to give away for the game today. It's for the game today. So if you want to come down and hopefully snag a couple of tickets, they might be gone by the time you get here. You never know.
You never know.
But we will be there starting at 11 o'clock. It's 104.1 FM KMOX. John Hancock and Chris Ranji from Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village. Baseball this afternoon, 12:15. Cardinals and Reds, that's the first pitch. And we're taking you up until Tom Ackerman will take over at 11 o'clock. I'm glad you're with us today. It's time for the midweek, midday, midlife as we discuss all kinds of issues for those in their 30s and 40s and, you know, trying to navigate this part of their lives. No, 50 is not considered. Yeah, 50 is in your midlife, of course. Katie Gillis is a licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist and is with us now on KMOX. Katie, we appreciate your time. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And I fall into this category. More adults are choosing not to have kids. Why is that happening and how, I don't know if I want to call it a problem, but how prevalent is it?
So it's actually, it's more prevalent. So I was kind of chuckling when I heard you say, you know, our 50s, you know, the midlife, I'm kind of chuckling. I'm like, well, hopefully, because I got another few years left. But but actually, like, interestingly enough, research shows that people are just saying that they just don't want to, and that they're like kind of given more, I don't want to say permission, but I mean, you know, maybe they're feeling more comfortable being able to be comfortable with that decision, if that makes sense. Some other, you know, influences, of course, are economics, you know, and stuff like that. But it's interestingly enough, research is just saying that people are saying, you know, oh, I'm finally feeling comfortable being able to say no.
Yeah, there used to be kind of a social scorn, you know, going back into the 1950s and 60s in this country, where if you didn't have kids, you know, something was wrong with you. And that largely has gone away now.
Yeah, I think there is always going to be some kind of stigma, you know what I mean, or some kind of, you know, I guess, judgment, you know, if people, and then of course, I definitely understand, I have many friends and colleagues who are like, you know, wanting to have children, but can't, you know, for many different reasons. And I hold space for that. And I absolutely, you know, I understand, you know, and I feel for them. But definitely the stigma, you know, is changing, I think, at least for, you know, maybe our generation, you know, the midlife, I think we have choices that our, you know, parents and grandparents maybe couldn't have made as easily, for sure.
So why do people feel, has it been a thing where people maybe in the past wanted to not have kids but felt pressured to do it, and now they just don't feel that pressure anymore, or is there just a growing desire not to do it?
I think it's, honestly, I see, and of course I'm going to have a bias because, you know, I'm in the mental health realm, and so a lot of people who I interact with are going to have, you know, it's going to be related to, you know, their life and healing and stuff like that. Maybe there's some breaking generational patterns, things that I notice. But it's interestingly, you know, I'm seeing that there's less pressure. I have many, you know, people who I talk to who will say, you know, I felt I had children just because I feel like it was the thing to do and felt like I had to. I felt no other option, you know, which is really too bad. And then I have many people who are child free in my circle, you know, both professionally and personally, who say, you know, I haven't really felt that pressure. And I kept feeling like I was going to, maybe in my 30s, mid-30s, late-30s, early-40s, and I haven't been feeling that same pressure. So definitely there's a social shift, I think.
So when you look at your clients, your professional clients, are there instances where you've got spouses who one wants kids and the other doesn't? How prevalent is that situation?
Yeah, I do see that, unfortunately. And that's a hard one because, you know, one person really wanting something is not going to change, you know, if the other person might not want children just as much as the other person does want them. And that's a very difficult situation to be in. So I feel for couples who are struggling with that, that is definitely something that comes up. But I notice that less and less with younger people. I notice that for people who are maybe more feeling like, you know, oh, my clock is ticking, so to speak, you know, that kind of thing. I'll see some of that sometimes.
I know that can be an irreconcilable thing where if one person wants to, the other one doesn't, you just can't get past it. If people are navigating it and trying to stay together despite it, what can they do?
That's a hard one because I think sometimes couples will kind of like look to me to like make that decision for them, which of course is something that, you know, that is something that, you know, is very personal. That is something it's hard to know. I do think that that's something where, you know, having communication and open communication is so important right then. And I don't think necessarily, you know, that it's about changing the other person. Maybe sometimes we explore, you know, what is it behind, you know, the desire, the want to have children that's coming up for you. Sometimes it's that, sometimes it's not, you know, as simple as that. So it definitely, there's a range for sure. That's a hard one.
I believe I've read where in the United States we have a declining birth rate. If that's true, are there societal implications with that?
I don't know. I've seen research either way. I've seen research showing, you know, that we're declining, and then I've seen research showing that we're not. And it's so hard to know. You know what I mean? It's really hard to know. I certainly can't go out and count, you know, everyone. But I think that, you know, I think for every person like us, you know, or person, if anyone listening who can relate to this, I think if for every person like us, I think there are people, you know, that are in maybe the other camp who are, you know, wanting to have children. And that's, you know, one of the most important things they've wanted. And so I think there's always going to be that. I just think, you know, with the decrease and decline in pressure for people to feel like they have to have children, I think there are always going to be people who that's what they want. You know, so I don't think there are any major implications.
Yeah, we just have a few seconds here, about 20 seconds. So if people are feeling, they do feel that pressure, maybe didn't exist as much as it used to, but still does exist for some, what's the best way to navigate it?
I think just being able to allow yourself to explore what comes up for you, and, you know, kind of validating that, like, whatever your choice is, it's valid and it's important, and just kind of remembering that.
Katie Gillis, licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist. We appreciate you joining us today. Thank you for talking this topic over with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Katie Gillis. Yeah, I don't have kids right
now, John.
There
you have it.
As far as I'm aware, I don't know.
Oh, buddy, I think if you had kids, you'd know about it.
Oh, see, that's what I keep telling people.
That would be my best guess.
Every time I say I don't have kids, they go, that you know about. I'm like, you know what? If I had kids, they would find me.
I was a total accident.
You?
Yeah.
Well, I think that I'm...
I mean, a total accident.
I'm happy with you as an accident.
I am the product probably of a Cardinal game.
You probably are.
Late in the season, and Dad probably had a few too many.
Yeah.
And then 9 months later, there I am.
Speaking of the Cardinals, game's coming up. Tom Ackerman is going to join you next.
Tom
He's going to have the pregame show.
One of the
taking
all-time
you up to
greats.
I will be out on the Together Credit Union Plaza giving out. I've got some tickets to give away for the game today. If you stop by, you might get them. They might be gone by the time you get here, so you better hurry up. Also, Jerry Kelly Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical has us outside. We'll be giving away compliments. Part
Sweet.
Of 100 Acts of Kindness. Join me outside. This has been the Chris and Amy Show. Back tomorrow at 9 with John Hancock and Chris Ronji on KMOX.
You're listening to Leaf Filter.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.